This is Agriculture Today.
Demand will continue to do the heavy lifting as we move into the new crop year, with the record export pace showing no signs of slowing.
Reed Botts is a grain and oilseed analyst with Terrain.
Consumer demand for protein and livestock production trends continue to support demand. Ethanol and the biofuel industry have positive momentum building for nationwide year-round E15, although the Senate still needs to push this across the finish line. And clarity on the 45Z dollar per gallon producer tax credit continues to unfold, supporting stronger ethanol margins and corn processing.
And on the heels of that, U.S. ethanol production climbed to its second highest level on record, strengthening corn demand while increasing fuel and export transportation needs. EIA, the Energy Information Administration's data, shows output reached 1.13 million barrels daily during the week that ended July 24th, and that's up 3.6%. Daily production, almost 47.6 million gallons. That's 3.4% above last year. Four-week average, 1.09 million barrels daily, equal to an annualized 16.76 billion gallons. Exports, though, down 13.3%, or 5.8 million gallons. Automation helping greenhouse growers expand production of crops once considered difficult to move indoors. Cox Farms President Steve Bradley says newer systems making lettuce and strawberries more practical at commercial scale while supporting year-round production closer to consumers. His company operates more than 700 acres under glass across the U.S. and Canada. Its crop mix includes tomatoes, peppers, cucumbers, strawberries, and lettuce, with additional expansion planned across North America. Seeds and growing media enter highly automated facilities where crops are planted, germinated, moved, and harvested with little human contact. And lettuce completes the production cycle in about 21 days and is rarely touched by a human. Georgia's state-inspected meat processors can now ship products nationwide, that under a new cooperative interstate shipment agreement. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins says the change gives smaller processors access to markets previously limited by state boundaries. Participating plants must meet federal inspection requirements and may use the USDA inspection mark. Georgia, now the 11th state in the program, joining Indiana, Iowa, Maine, Missouri, Montana, North Dakota, Ohio, South Dakota, Vermont, and Wisconsin. H-2A payroll mistakes can create unnecessary taxes, incorrect wage reports, and costly corrections for farm employers. Washburn University law professor Roger McCohen says the program follows a different federal payroll framework than domestic ag labor. Qualifying H-2A wages are exempt from Social Security and Medicare taxes for employers and workers, and they're also generally exempt from federal unemployment tax, although the workers still count when determining whether a farm must file unemployment reports. And several federal farm program deadlines are arriving, giving producers limited time to claim disaster aid. Specialty crop producers have to apply by August 7th for payments based on reported 2025 planted acres. Supplemental disaster relief program deadline, August 12th. And ag risk coverage and price loss coverage, ARC and PLC, that sign up, August 31st. It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit TexasCorn.org and become a member today.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
My second FOMC committee meeting as chairman has come quickly. It's probably too early to call it a streak, but our discussions again were collegial and constructive. I'm truly lucky to work with colleagues so capable and mission-focused and so determined, like I am, to sharpen the performance of the Federal Reserve.
Kevin Warsh is the chairman of the Federal Reserve.
Today, as you know, our committee decided to vote by a 9-3 vote to maintain the target range for the federal funds rate at 3.5% to 3.75%. The committee is continuing its policy of making ample reserves in the banking system. The economy is showing impressive resilience. Even with recent shocks, the trends are positive and reveal solid growth. Job gains have kept pace with the workforce, and the unemployment rate has changed little. Inflation remains elevated relative to the committee's 2% goal. The committee remains resolute. You've heard this before, but we will deliver price stability. FOMC meetings produce policy decisions, but just as important is candid discussion of the big things that matter most. That, too, is a priority in this new chapter at the Fed. In our meeting, vigorous discussion centered on four questions, which I will enumerate. First, we talked a lot about the implications of the past 5 years of high inflation on the current policy conjuncture. To echo an old phrase, has the past really passed? Second, my colleagues and I considered the economic shocks of recent years, strained supply chains arising from the pandemic, military conflicts, energy supply disruptions, substantial increases in tariff rates, and yes, the surge in AI-related investment. These differ in their sources. Do they also differ in their effects on output and employment? Third, we took up the related question of price increases arising from shocks. The business capex boom, for example, is driving up prices of memory and logic chips and associated AI infrastructure. Do these changes indicate a broader inflationary dynamic, or do we just focus on them because they are under the bright streetlight? Finally, we discuss monetary policy tools and strategies for achieving stable prices. If, as the Fed has long held, interest rate policy should be its primary monetary policy instrument, how much accommodation are we getting from the balance sheet? In all of this, our work is advancing at the Fed. We're asking the right questions. And in this consequential time, we know how very much depends on getting the right answers. So we're not going to be constrained by market prices. We're not going to be constrained or take verbatim from what the market's doing. But I think it's useful, Anne, to understand that markets can be a very good source of information, not a determinative source, not a perfect source. But if we're trying to land the plane and deliver 2% inflation, and we take a very useful source of information and we get it all fogged up by giving it our own forecasts, by providing rolling commentary, I can assure you that we're going to have less information, less ability to land the plane successfully and deliver price stability. We're just trying to make sure that that source of information is as direct and unfiltered as possible. It isn't to the exclusion of data sources and opinions and other surveys. But if you're hearing from me, we wanted to make sure we were getting a better source of information. I think in a relatively short time, we are.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Ag News now. Agriculture Today.
Considering trade seasonality and that for the past 10 years, on average, 3% of total export commitments are unshipped and roll into the subsequent crop year's beginning stocks and exports, I forecast that old crop 2025-26 exports finish at 3.375 billion bushels or 50 million bushels higher than the USDA's July forecast.
Brie Botts is a grain and oilseed analyst with Terrain.
This would also decrease beginning stocks accordingly to 1.97 billion bushels for 2026-27. While a 50 million bushel difference may seem small relative to total supplies, every reduction in carryout brings the market one step closer to a tighter balance sheet and improved pricing opportunities for producers. Transportation largely determines how efficiently the U.S. executes export sales, primarily rail and barge, with peak demand for freight following harvest. After soybean shipments are seasonally executed, rail and barge capacity typically increase, allowing other grains to increase shipments. While nearly 60% of U.S. grain exports ship via barge on the Mississippi River, total shipments are down 15% year-over-year, playing a higher emphasis on rail service and grain shuttle supply. According to the Service Transportation Board, through June 2026, U.S. grain carloads are up 13% year-over-year. However, forward freight demand indicators for July and August show secondary shuttle freight for the Western Railroads are trading at a discount to tariff rates, indicating surplus freight is available. This would be primarily led by reduced wheat exports, given that the U.S. hard red winter wheat production is down over 40% year-over-year. For the week ending July 9th, 2026, shuttle trains for July and August delivery traded below the seasonal three-year average. Improved freight availability could help facilitate additional corn export execution. This could increase old crop exports by an additional 30 to 70 million bushels, finishing full-year exports beyond 3.4 billion bushels. This would minimize the number of unshipped sales rolling into the new marketing year's beginning stocks and tighten up the supply side of the balance sheet. Following the U.S.-China trade meeting, the White House issued a fact sheet on May 17, 2026, indicating China agreed to purchase an additional $17 billion in U.S. agricultural products annually through 2028. Beyond the annual soybean commitment of 25 million metric tons per year. The reported agreement with China comes as global demand continues to outpace supply, with the USDA forecasting global corn stocks to use at 18% in 2026-27, among the lowest levels in the past decade and down 2% versus last year. At the same time, the duration and hangover effects of the conflict in Iran to both global crude oil and fertilizer supplies also leaves future global corn production questionable. Any potential global pullback will tighten up corn supplies even further. Plus, any confirmed purchases from China could result in a sharp rally and provide pricing opportunities for farmers. Keep in mind, China is the second largest global producer of corn and relies on only 1% of imports for their total domestic supply. For the past 5 years, China had record domestic corn production, with the USDA forecasting another 2% increase in 2026-27. Combined with current import barriers such as tariffs and quotas, doubt lingers on big Chinese corn buys. If we see new crop exports continue at a similar pace to 2025-26, the USDA could currently be understating demand too for this year's crop. U.S. new crop exports were to rise another 175 million bushels to my old crop forecast of 3.375 billion bushels. At the same time, beginning stocks are reduced due to USDA understating old crop exports by 50 million bushels. Ending stocks would be 1.565 billion bushels. After several years of lower corn prices and tightening farm margins, many producers are questioning whether demand will be strong enough to support a meaningful recovery. While the market remains focused on acreage and yield potential, demand may prove to be the more important story over the next 12 months. Terrain's outlook differs from the USDA's primarily because current export commitments, transportation indicators, and global inventory trends suggest export demand could exceed the USDA's current forecast. For new crop 2026-27 supplies, weather during July and August will have the ultimate say in U.S. production and yields. The window for a weather threat is quickly closing, so if favorable conditions develop, expect prices to trend downward as they seasonally do heading into harvest.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express Water Wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express Water Wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express Water Wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
This is Agriculture Today.
Things seemed like they were finally getting to the top of this short-term mountain. You know, the whole thing got kicked off with the French government's payback to the farmer. Mm-hmm. They call it a scheme. It's the same thing we're doing here in the U.S. and a lot of other places around there have done. It's a subsidy payment to help offset things that the government have done to drive up the fertilizer price. Of course, they jumped all over it. Values were down significantly from where their highs were. The government was giving them a kickback. Of course, they were going to jump in. It's great for the French farmers.
Josh Linville, Vice President of Fertilizer with StoneX.
But unfortunately, they got everybody else excited around the world and prices started to drive higher. Well, they had finally started to slow down. The rest of the world was looking at the price and saying, yeah, no, I'm good. I don't need anything to do with that. If the market had stayed quiet, I think we would have started to see value start to turn over, start to drop. But it got a lifeline, unfortunately, for farmers around the world. RCF is going to handle this India purchase tender. Looks like they're looking for about 1.7 million ton. Unfortunately, for those of us in the Western Hemisphere of the world, 1.7 million ton is destined for West Coast ports. That means the North Africans, Middle Easterns, folks like that are going to be looking at that. They get the bigger share of this purchase tender. The other 700,000, of course, being the East Coast. Offers are due by August 11th. It's always important to note, this thing does not tell the story until it's completely done. But this is a lifeline. Now the world can sit there and say, oh, this is a big amount of tons. We can go after it. We can get on this. And what's more important in my mindset, this doesn't make it right, but my mindset is, now we are late enough into the calendar. By the time these offers are due on August 11th, we're almost halfway through the month. And these offers can sit there and say, if the low price is too low, I'm willing to take a shot. I'm willing to ignore or refuse India because I think there's other demand coming. I am late enough into the buying cycle. We're now starting to move out of that summer demand lull into the next buying rounds around the world. And if everything around the world is still going on with Russia, with the Strait of Hormuz, European production rates, all these things around the world, mm-hmm. I think manufacturers are going to be a lot more willing to step back and say, yeah, I don't need to get desperate. I don't need to get aggressive. I think I've got options. Mm-hmm. And I am hoping there is something I'm missing and prices will start to fall. Because let's face it, farmers around the world are not doing well with urea prices where they are today, Lord forbid they move even higher. I think that's ultimately going to be one thing that keeps this thing scaled back a little bit. But as we look to this fertilizer year 2027, which we start July 1st, it's a lot of demand out there. Unfortunately, farmers are going to farm and you need a certain amount of nitrogen to raise that crop.
And what about Moroccan phosphate?
I think it accomplishes two goals. Number one, most important, they can stand up and say, thank you, President Trump, for your suspending the countervailing duties against our phosphate imports into your country. American farmers need Moroccan phosphate. It's the wave of the future. We are going to support you because you supported us. Mm-hmm. And from a politician standpoint who knows very, very little about the marketplace, they're going to see, oh, they're sending a vessel of something phosphate-based. This is a great thing. We told you we were going to do it. We told you we were going to fix this thing. The unfortunate truth is not the right one. It's not one that's hugely popular. And listen, I know why they're doing it. I fully understand why it is what they are doing. Triple superphosphate doesn't require the inputs that are so, so tightly supplied and so high cost around the world. It's just manufacturing, you kick it out. They're trying to build this. This is actually the new manufacturing line they're trying to build right now, a 2.4 million ton per year triple superphosphate line. They're trying to move away from the typical DAP and MAP products. Mm-hmm. Fortunate part of it is we are all creatures of habit. It's phosphate. It's coming over. It does help supplies. It is a good thing. I don't want people thinking everything I say is negative. It is a great thing to see phosphate coming from there again. Unfortunately, it's the right product. Just the wrong type.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
As expected, U.S. farmers planted more soybeans than last year, and more than the USDA's March Prospective Plantings report showed.
Mark Rosenbaum is Senior Grain and Oilseed Analyst with Terrain.
Since the beginning of March, estimated average relative crop margins between corn and soybeans has shifted noticeably to favor soybeans. During February, this relative margin averaged nearly even between corn and soybeans. Since March, this relative margin has improved, amid volatility, to average $61 per acre in favor of soybeans. The USDA now expects 85.365 million acres of soybeans, up from 81.215 million acres last year, with just over 8 million of those left to plant, as reported by the USDA in the June 30th acreage report. Using state trend yields, I forecast total production at 4.47 billion bushels, up 4.8% from last year. Also released on June 30th was a quarterly grain stocks report, which showed total soybean stocks at 1.06 billion bushels, 5% higher than a year ago. While higher overall, on-farm stocks were down from a year ago, while off-farm stocks were higher, indicating significant farmer selling over the past quarter, with stocks available to either crush or export in the months ahead. Regionally, the total supply change from 2025 to 2026 is expected to grow more in the east than in the west. In the east, larger acres and yield are expected to drive this increase, while in the central and plains regions, higher soybean acres are partially offset by lower yields for a smaller supply change forecast. If these forecasts materialize, the production shifts may not significantly affect overall market prices, but they will likely affect regional basis and thus farm prices as we shift to the marketing year ahead. Since April, the renewable fuel industry has worked to increase plant capacity utilization, biofuel production, and feedstock consumption to meet the renewable volume obligations announced by the EPA on March 27th. In the latest data for May, production was still about 9% under the pace likely needed to satisfy the annual RVO, although the gap narrowed from April. The RVOs are expected to support strong demand for biofuel feedstocks, including soybean oil, underpinning soybean crush demand and prices. However, a couple of key indicators should be monitored in the months ahead for confirmation of continued strength or emerging weakness. Watch for continued increases in biofuel plant utilization rates and biomass-based diesel production, which will indicate the industry is working towards the pace needed to meet RVO obligations. At about 37%, the current share of soybean oil in total feedstock use is critical for supporting prices, particularly as competing feedstocks such as used cooking oil, tallow, and canola oil can limit upside if price relationships shift. Look for continued strength in RIN values and crush margins, as these both measure the economic incentives driving biofuel or feedstock production. Together, these indicators will determine the strength of support for soybean prices as we look towards the 2026-27 marketing year. Soybean prices have shifted throughout 2026 based on the changing expectations of China's soybean purchases. China's commitment from last fall to buy 12 million metric tons has been fulfilled and almost entirely shipped. Attention now turns to its commitment of 25 million metric tons, or about 918.6 million bushels, for the 2026 crop. The first week of July saw announced purchases for fall 2026 shipment in addition to a small amount already on the books, important steps for reaching the 25 million metric ton target. Prices have reacted favorably to these purchases as a bit more assurance that targets will become reality as purchases are executed. If China's purchases continue at even a semi-regular pace, I expect prices to remain supported. However, an extended period without buying is likely to be met by prices trending downward, absent other factors such as adverse weather. China's import demand level and origin decisions are key to sustaining higher prices.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
As before, the policy statement conveys just the facts. It's steering clear of forecasting, a choice we consider especially prudent at these uncertain times.
Kevin Warsh is chairman of the Federal Reserve.
Uncertainty, however, does not mean a lack of clarity. For some households, businesses, and market professionals, 5 years of high inflation have left a mistaken impression that's hard to shake, that the Fed's implicit inflation target was somehow above 2%. Let me reiterate, there is no soft inflation target. There is no soft implicit target, not on this committee's watch. There's only a target, and it's 2%. Not one of my FOMC colleagues is under any illusion. We have begun a new chapter, and we understand that the 5+ years of inflation above target cannot be cured in 9 weeks or by a single month of modest price decreases. This Fed will not waver. Our credibility rests on performing our duties and delivering on our responsibilities. Americans are right to expect that because our nation's prosperity depends on it. To the regulars here in the press room, today's assessment might sound familiar, yet there was nothing inertial about our discussions, our policy, or our strategy. Two economic developments are worth highlighting. The first is a very notable change since our last meeting 42 days ago. Nominal and real yields are materially higher across the Treasury curve. In fact, some of the increases in market interest rates between FOMC meetings are among the most significant in the last two decades, ranking around the top decile or so. But if the committee didn't change its policy rate, what happened? In the intermeeting period, market attention centered on real data and real economic developments. Prices reacted in real time to incoming information, and the reduction in forward guidance may have been a factor. Market participants are learning to play the ball, not the referee, and market prices will continue to respond in the direction and magnitude they see fit. This is, in my view, a change for the better, and we're just getting started. After all, the central bank need not always and everywhere be the center of attention. I understand the desire for rolling forecasts and commentary from this committee, but for our part, we need to observe market reaction to developments, direct and unfiltered. I want to stress, of course, that decisions by this committee matter a great deal, and where necessary and appropriate, we will not hesitate to act. A second economic development is one that I noted at the congressional oversight hearings this month, but it's worth repeating. The most striking feature of the economy is the strong growth of business investment. The surge in high-tech CapEx has been remarkable, but that does not necessarily make the Fed's role any easier. In the AI-related category of high-tech equipment and software, the most recent data shows four-quarter growth rates of nearly 20%. This is helping to sustain the healthy momentum of manufacturing output. More generally, CapEx is preparing the ground for future growth. Nonetheless, the precise timing and magnitude of effects on the supply side remain hard to predict.
It's Agriculture Today.
On demanding job sites, you need equipment that works as hard as your crew. The Wiley Express Water Wagon is built for construction, industrial, and municipal use, delivering dependable water application for dust abatement, fire protection, and fresh water supply. The Express Water Wagon helps keep your operations safe, compliant, and productive. The Wiley Express Water Wagon, built for the toughest jobs on the ground. Trust Wiley Sprayers, proudly built in Texas. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.